Hello, everyone, and welcome to Eagles 360. It's Friday, for all intents and purposes, but it's really only Tuesday. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack. Now, Thursday night game, you get it. We're just a couple of days away from the Eagles and the New York Giants. Quick turnaround, Glenn. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, well, I'm ready for it. I'm sure the players have to be ready for it. I'm not a big fan of Thursday night football.
Why not?
Because I think when you rush the game into that four-day period, you lose something in the quality of the game. I watch those Thursday night uniform, what do they call those things? Burnout, bright out, color war, whatever it is, games. And by and large, I find them not to be as great as the quality of NFL football we watch on Sundays.
The Eagles, by the way, will be wearing the color black on Thursday night.
Right. Did we decide black is the absence of all color?
No, black is, in fact, a color. Right?
No.
Black's a color.
I think black is either the absence or presence of all color. I think it's the presence of all color. Yeah, I guess that makes
it
a
color.
White's not.
See what 5-9 reduces to. All right, we've got some very busy things happening at the NovaCare Complex on this Tuesday. Lane Johnson back practicing, starting, talking to the media. And that's one of the things that Alex Smith will discuss here in his 360 update as the Eagles look ahead to the New York Giants on Thursday.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Smith here with your 360 update. The Eagles continue their short week of practice heading into Thursday night's game against the Giants. And today, back on the practice field for the first time was right tackle Lane Johnson, coming off of his 10-game suspension. Now, Johnson will start at right tackle on Thursday night. And today he spoke in the locker room saying that he feels the need to prove himself with his actions.
This is hard. I mean, I don't care who believes it or not, but words can't express anything. I'm just going to have to show by action. So over the next few years, just less talk and more action.
I think it showed in my first four games. I was trying to play as hard as I can. I mean, even now when I come back, I'm going to try to play as hard as I can, and that's all I can do. That's all I can control is just how hard I play. And it's more action-based than what words can say. So got to go out there and go play good.
Meanwhile, the task on Thursday for the Eagles defense is slowing down Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants offense. Today inside the locker room, we heard from cornerback Jalen Mills on what it will take to slow down number 13.
I mean, you got to play good coverage. You know, you have to keep your eyes on him. You see sometimes where he may run a route and a guy may try to be too aggressive and he's cutting up the field and Eli's throwing over your head. Or sometimes you're playing too soft and the eyes go to the quarterback and he's catching the slant and taking it for, you know, 40, 50 yards. So for sure, have to have great eyes on it for sure.
And finally, we'll wrap things up with an injury update. Running back Kenyon Barner did not practice today. And of course, head coach Doug Peterson already said earlier this week that Barner will not play in Thursday night game as he deals with a hamstring injury. Meanwhile, the only other Eagle who was limited in today's practice was guard Isaac Seumalo. For a full injury recap, as well as all of our sound from inside the locker room, stay right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the official Eagles mobile app.
Thanks so much, Alex. Glenn, how much of an impact did the absence of Lane Johnson have on this football team?
Dramatic, Dave. I think it's the, if you're going to list the biggest reasons the Eagles went from being 3-0 to being 5-9, I put that right at the top. It started an effect where the Eagles went through five right tackles over the course of the season. Some of them did pretty well. I mean, I think we learned Vitae can be a player. But still, that offensive line went way downhill when he left, and I think it's the number one factor in the Eagles season kind of going south.
Yeah, so he is back in the starting lineup for this game after not playing for 10 weeks. How much can he give the Eagles on Thursday night? We're going to find out. Busy show for you today. We take a look around the NFC East. We have Doug Peterson in studio, his formula for getting his players ready for this game. But when we return, one final look back at Sunday's heartbreaker in Baltimore. Glenn Mack now, his five takeaways. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by McDonald's. Mix and match on McDonald's McPick 2 for $2.50 menu, now featuring Filet-O-Fish for a limited time. I'm loving it.
Oh. What's Bad Santa?
No.
No.
Love Actually?
No.
No.
Yeah. What about that one?
Anybody?
Yeah.
Hey. Anytime,
oh, no, there's too many to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
With Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank, just make one deposit, payment, withdrawal, or transfer each month to waive the monthly fee, and there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank.
Remarkable things are happening at your local Acme. We're making changes, and we're getting better every day. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood, and fresher produce, and hundreds of organics. To top it off, we're lowering thousands of prices throughout the store. So come on in and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Lower prices, great quality, and friendlier service. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Be noisy, be silent, be near, be far, be joyful, be together. Celebrate joy with Dunkin's holiday-flavored coffees, espressos, and donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
We welcome you back, Eagles 360, Dave Spadaro and Glenn Mack now, who takes over center stage. His takeaways from a disappointing, yet uplifting, yet heartbreaking 27-26 loss on Sunday.
You got every emotion in there.
I'm trying to.
All right, here you go. And number one, I think actually plays into a lot of these different ups and downs, and is how do you judge Carson Wentz off of Sunday? He started the game horribly through the interception at the beginning, the first drive. He missed throws all day in some bad weather. On the other hand, he drove his shorthanded team to two scores in the final 6 minutes of that game. His scrambling touchdown run was, to me, a very big-time play. There's greatness in there. I think it's just going to take more time to develop than maybe we believed at the very start of the season. And I'll just say this. He goes out week after week, shorthanded, not a lot of talent around him. He throws 45 passes. A lot of them get dropped. He's handled it coolly, calmly. He's got the leadership. Dave, I believe now, as much as I ever did, that this kid's got greatness in
him. Yeah, and he's got the body language after good plays and bad plays, generally the same. There's really nothing that Carson Wentz has done that would make you think otherwise. Although starting games as he has against Minnesota, the Giants, and Baltimore with first drive, early drive interceptions, got to calm down there and figure out a way to get through those kind of moments.
Yeah, that's the future. And his mechanics need some work, and he sails the ball. But to me, what I see there is a pro's pro.
Yep, agreed.
All right, number two. Let's give some big ups to an offensive line that played very well in this game. As shorthanded as it was, that makeshift line with Jason Peters, Brandon Brooks, Jason Kelsey, Stefan Wisniewski, and Isaac Simalu playing tackle, did a really nice job. The team rushed for 169 yards. Wentz got sacked once. I saw Kelsey and Peters way downfield hitting secondary blockers on some of those runs. It was regarded as a tough, tough matchup going in. I think the offensive line all acquitted itself well.
Against the number one ranked run defense in the NFL, one that had given up just 70-plus yards overall and less than 55 yards a game on the ground at home. And the Eagles took it to them. Just not. But impressive.
Not quite enough.
Yeah.
2 yards short.
Yep.
All right. Number three. I don't know what to make of Rodney McLeod at this point. I really liked this guy the first half of the season. He was a terrific free agent addition. He fit the system well. He hit. He covered. We've now seen plays in two of the last three games that just have me scratching my head. That 16-yard touchdown run, he just retreated again and again back and back into the end zone. I'm screaming at my TV. He said afterward that he kind of lost his place on the field. He's a five-year veteran. It's a poor excuse for a five-year veteran. I expect more out of Rodney McLeod. Very disappointing.
I liked what Jim Schwartz said today about that. He wants his safety to get back to aiming and firing instead of aiming. Fly around the field, go to the football. That's the Rodney McLeod who dominated defensively in the first half of this season. Interesting if we see that these final two games. Not a reckless Rodney McLeod, but a more aggressive, more confident, more decisive Rodney McLeod.
Keep backing up. You're going to be in the stand soon.
Well, true.
There you go. All right, number four. There is no question that the Eagles possess more talent on defense than they do on offense. And the stats have looked pretty good. And the stats on Sunday, 3 sacks, 2 takeaways, that's all very nice. But a constant problem all year, and was again this year, is those long plays that just kill them. And they gave up some of those again. Jim Schwartz's defense has been hurt by those all year. Those third and eights that they convert really hurt the Eagles. And I guess just part of that, we of course know the big play, I didn't like the secondary, members of the secondary after the game kind of complaining about the scheme. Sometimes you just got to cover one-on-one if they want to try to get the blitz on.
Yep, and that was Jalen Watkins. That was on Jalen Watkins. He's the one who's got to be over the top on that touchdown pass to Steve Smith. He was late, bad angle. It's happened before. Jalen Watkins, if he wants to be a key member of this Eagles defense moving forward, has to be in those positions.
Mm-hmm. All right, number five. A defensive guy I like, and I know you do because we've discussed him before, and I'll single him out for praise, has been a linebacker, Jordan Hicks. Yeah, he over-pursued on the Dixon touchdown, but he also had eight tackles and that huge late interception that allowed the Eagles to get back into the game. He has forced nine turnovers in 19 NFL games. That in itself is a great number. You need those guys. I don't know how many nucleus players the Eagles have right now. I can tell you he is one of them.
Yeah, no question about it. I think Jordan Hicks is a player who won't be called when the Pro Bowl is announced later tonight, but I think the Pro Bowl down the line for Jordan is very possible. He'll put on some bulk this offseason. He'll put on some strength. Remember last year he had the pectoral injury, really couldn't attack the weight room early in the offseason. Really critical offseason for Jordan, assuming he stays healthy, knock on wood, these last two games. Eagles have a leader inside. They've got a playmaker inside. And he does go to the football.
Absolutely.
And you need
those guys to create turnovers.
Yep.
That's five.
Good. That's a good five. All right. Glenn Macnell's five takeaways from Baltimore. We're not going to talk about it anymore. We are going to talk about the Eagles as they transition into the New York Giants. And to do so, we will have Doug Peterson, Eagles head coach, in studio when we return. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Rothman at Jefferson. The Eagles and Rothman Institute at Jefferson are partnering to celebrate the top high school football teams and coaches in the tri-state area with the High School Football Showdown. Visit the website to vote for the game of the week and support your school. Check back daily for new matchups.
What's Bad Santa?
No.
No. Love Actually?
No.
No.
Yeah.
What about that one?
Grab it, make it
decision. Anybody?
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, no, there's too many to pick from.
Hi, I'm Bo Allen from the Philadelphia Eagles, and this is the Allen from Bob's Discount Furniture.
We named it after Bo.
Thanks, Bob. You're the man.
It packs up serious power. Power recline, power headrest, and USB ports. Get the sofa or console love seat in dark chocolate or light brown, an untouchable value at only $7.99 each.
I don't know how you do it, Bob, but man, do I respect it. You know how players show respect after big games?
Nope.
We swap jerseys.
All right, fellas, let's go out there and give them heck.
Heck.
Let's go out there and give them the 1-2.
You tell them, Captain.
Go out there and we're going to really give them the business.
And by golly, let's sock it to them.
Yeah.
Fair and square. Hip, hip.
Hooray! Come on, Bowman, let's give them the water.
Holy smokes.
The old game just can't compete. Especially when it comes to innovative energy solutions like the ones NRG uses to power the Eagles. Visit picknrg.com today.
Celebrate the holidays with delicious Dunkin' coffee. Stop by Dunkin' Donuts for two K-Cup boxes for $15.99 or 3 pounds of packaged coffee for $19.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
We welcome you to our one-on-one exclusive with Doug Peterson, head coach, presented by Wawa. And, Doug, it is a Tuesday. You've got a game on Thursday. You just cleaned up the game from Sunday. It all really mashes in. What are the keys to getting these players back physically and emotionally?
Well, the number one thing is, and I think the positive thing is getting back out on the practice field and getting these guys moving around a little bit. You know, Monday we spent that day in meetings and some walkthrough and kind of put in the base game plan for the Giants moving forward. And then obviously today putting in the rest of our game plan. And really you're down to just a couple days this week and you're going to play. So, you know, it's the beauty of it is you're playing a division opponent that you've already played before, so there's some familiarity there. And so you're not having to reinvent a lot of things. And sometimes the best ways and the best times are Thursday night games because you can keep things simple for your offense and defense and allows your guys to play.
A couple of big picture questions, if we could talk about it. Offensive line, you now have seen Isaac Seumalo play a bit. You've seen Halapolivati Vaitai play. Your thoughts on how they might project into the future of the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, both of them are tremendous draft picks for us. You know, we were fortunate to pick up both of those guys back in the April draft, and they both came in with an eagerness and a readiness to play. And Isaac was probably a little more ahead of the curve because we kind of threw him in there a little bit faster than Big V, as Big V was learning the system and the terminology. But both of these guys for us project down the road to be starters in our offensive line. And what we've seen out of Big V this season, the times that he's played, he got better each week, and it was just unfortunate his injury that he's missed these last couple of weeks. And then Isaac steps in, and he was playing some tight end position early, and then he gets thrust into that right tackle. He was our fifth right tackle this year, and really did a great job against Baltimore. You know, and these guys have a tremendous pass rush. They're great on third down, first in the league. They're against the run. And a guy like Isaac is a pro's pro. He studies. He pays attention to detail. He takes coaching extremely well. And so I really see both of these guys being starters in the future for us.
With everything that you've gone through up front, how has Jeff made that line still function at a pretty high level with five right tackles, with left guards moving around, with injuries kind of throughout?
Well, the two consistents in that offensive line have been Kelce and Jason Peters, and he really leans on both of those guys for their veteran leadership and their presence. And really even Allen, you know, has been that veteran presence who started at guard, and then he moved out to tackle and was playing some tackle position. And then you got another veteran in Wiz who comes in and plays your guard spot. So free agent pickup Brandon Brooks, who these are veteran players that have had a lot of games under their belt. So it wasn't a matter of them getting used to, you know, the game. It was just Stout staying on them, staying disciplined with the run game, keeping it simple, meaning not reinventing the run game each and every week and using the same core concepts that we put in back in April in OTAs, and, you know, fine-tuning that and really being disciplined with everything they do. And so it really didn't matter who was playing where. Just the way he teaches and plugs guys in, you know, has been part of our process and part of our, plan these last few weeks.
I know tight end Zach Ertz has been a topic of conversation for the fans, for the media. It really seems like in the last 6 weeks or so, he has just come on like gangbusters. How do you see him developing through this system? And then has he turned the corner and just been somebody that you're going to rely on and he'll deliver week in, week out?
I do. And what I saw early in the season, and really what I saw at the end of last season, you saw Zach Ertz and Sam Bradford really connecting and making plays on the field a year ago. And then Carson, now enter Carson Wentz, and he's learning the personnel. He's learning how these guys run routes and what they like and don't like. And so I think there was a little bit of figuring each other out early in the season. But these last few games now, Zach and Carson have been on the same page, and they're making a lot of plays on the field. The one area that we do have to get better at, obviously, with those two is in the red zone and utilizing that big target. And we've had opportunities. We've come away with either field goals or we've turned the ball over, and you can't do that in this league because points are too valuable. But these two, the more they work together, I really feel like this can be a dynamic combination in the future for us.
Doug, the New York Giants have won 10 games, barely beat the Eagles back in whatever month it was. It seems so long ago. How have they done it? What have they done well to get to 10 wins?
Well, you know, one thing is they're playing great defense, obviously, and they went out and spent a lot of money in the offseason to pick up some free agents that are really beginning to gel, you know, this time of the season, which is what you got to be doing. You got to be playing your best ball at the end of the season, not at the beginning of the season, and that's what you're seeing out of this defense right now. And offensively, they're just staying consistent. You know, it's run on first, run on second, a little play action pass mixed in there, and then convert on third downs. And you know, it's kind of been what the Giants have been all about. Eli is one of those guys that's just gonna, you know, methodically move the ball down the field. He's got some great weapons on the outside, and he's got a big tight end, you know, that he likes to use. And, you know, he manages the game very well. And it's a lot of no huddle, you know, so he's communicating on the line of scrimmage with these guys and just basically taking advantage of what he's seeing on the defensive side. So all that and all, they've had success doing it, and, you know, it's been a positive for him.
I got to give you a lot of credit. I remember asking you early in the season about the fourth downs and would you go for it throughout the year and in the future, and you've continued to be aggressive. That's the way it's going to be, right?
you know, I just think that you have to, you got to trust your players. And you know, there's times that I don't want to be crazy about it, you know, obviously. You know, probably in the last couple of weeks, the fourth downs have been because we've been behind in some games and we've had to go for some fourth down situations or a two-point conversion because of the score, you know. And I'm going to maintain that aggressiveness. I'm going to be smart by doing it, though, and make sure, again, that and this is an area that we'll look at in the spring. And we'll take a look at all our fourth downs and make sure that that I am calling the right plays, putting our guys in the right positions to convert these fourth downs and see where I can get better and help our team get better.
Do you think the players really respond to that message, Doug? Do you think that they like that you're trusting them so much?
I think they do. I think they do. You know, and I would say that they were probably all on board with the two-point conversion, you know, attempt the other day in Baltimore. The fourth down situations to stay on the field and you know, we missed out on the one, but there was a couple others that we had opportunities to convert, and we did. And, you know, it's just it's something that just shows the confidence in the team. And whether we make it or not, that next play, our team usually responds, and they respond well. So I definitely want to stay aggressive, be smart with it, and show the confidence in the guys.
Boy, that was quite a comeback the other day. I mean, 27-17, Baltimore has the ball, Eagles territory. A lot of defenses would have continued to play hard, but maybe a little hope lost. Energy on the sideline would have been down. That didn't happen with the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know, the one thing I can say that's consistent all year long is this team has never quit on themselves. And the coaches keep coaching, and we coach them hard. And you know, our guys are resilient. They, you know, they hate to lose. And that's the thing about it. I tell them every week, it's like you got to hate losing more than you like to win, and it's true because you learn more from a loss than you do from a win sometimes, and these guys battle, they hang in there. There's no panic on the sideline from coaches or players, and just seem to buckle down and make some plays and get us back into that game.
Let's get a win on Thursday night. Giants come to town. Doug Peterson in studio, one on one, presented by Wawa.
He's good.
Dad, I'm telling you, he's lit.
Okay, lay it on me.
You can't choose someone's taste in music, but at least you can choose two of your favorites from McDonald's McPick 2 menu.
So, you like it?
No. Let me get a McPick 2. No. Oh, sir.
Simply Right checking from Santander Bank. Just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right checking from Santander Bank. Are you
feeling all right, baby? You say crazy, I say crafted. You say savage, I say practiced. Crazy, crafted, savage, practiced. Let's run that whole thing back. You say unbelievable, I say achievable. You say incredible, I say inevitable. Unbelievable, achievable, incredible, inevitable. Let's run that whole thing back. Carbs to compete, electrolytes to replenish.
He's good?
Dad, I'm telling you, he's lit.
Okay, lay it on me.
You can't choose someone's taste in music, but at least you can choose two of your favorites from McDonald's McPick 2 menu.
So you like it?
No. Let me get a McPick 2. No. Sure.
It's all about the NFC East for the Eagles in these last 2 weeks of the regular season. So we're going to talk about the NFC East here, presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. The Dallas Cowboys still pacing the division. A really impressive win by the Cowboys against Tampa Bay on Sunday night. I thought Tampa Bay was right there. Three giveaways by Jameis Winston's sloppy performance. And Dak Prescott was probably as good as he's been all year.
Dak Prescott was very good, and they put him back doing what he does well, which is throw short. He had 32 completions. It was for, 279 yards, so he's averaging less than 9 yards a completion. But that works for them. If he dumps it off to Witten, if he dumps it off to Zeke Elliott, that's their offense. Their defense, which, you know, I've not really been sold on, I thought played very well. They had more of a pass rush. Dave, I hate to say it, they're 6-1 at home. They're 6-1 on the road. they're a team that certainly could go to the Super Bowl this year, which is going to be miserable.
Sure, but they're not going to go to the Super Bowl. Now, the Eagles will beat the Giants on Thursday night, and that will make the Cowboys game against the Eagles meaningless.
Ah,
all right?
Great.
You got that all locked in?
I understand your point.
Yep.
New Year's Day.
Mm. Right, so the division is going to finish this way. Dallas, New York, Washington, which loses on Monday night, a shocker at home. They're 1-15 in their last 16 home games on Monday Night Football.
Amazing. Yeah. Terrible. And it was the big audience. And they keep saying, we're a primetime team. We think we're the best in the division. Well, they're now third. But once again, Kirk Cousins, and you and I have debated him a lot, and I've come around a lot of him. I think he's a good quarterback. But that's one of those games where you want your quarterback to pull you out of it. I thought he played really poorly yesterday. And they couldn't get the run game going. Carolina's got a good run defense. You need the quarterback to do something. Best player they had last night was DeSean Jackson, by the way. Made two outstanding catches on the sideline.
Had the one drop on the slant pass on a third down. But, yeah, it actually, that game made me think for the first time this year, well, maybe the Redskins won't retain Kirk Cousins.
Maybe.
I just don't know who else they would have as the quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. But, you know, do you – The dilemma they have is, I guess they can franchise him once again.
$24 million.
Yeah, and that's a fortune. Or do you give him that 5-year, $90 million, whatever the going rate is? And I don't see it yet.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's good to have questions in our nation's capital that aren't related to the political scene. Right. The Washington Redskins.
Really smooth,
the Washington
man.
Redskins lost a huge game, but I still think they make the playoffs somehow. They need some help, but I still think they make the playoffs.
Well, Detroit lost last week. Minnesota
7-6.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they got a shot.
Minnesota's finishing 8-8. They're going to lose to Green Bay and beat Matt Barkley and the Chicago Bears. Eagles will have the first round draft pick somewhere in the 16, 17, 18 range. All right.
You can get talent there.
Yeah, no question about it. That is our look around the NFC East, presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. We'll be back with more on Eagles 360 in just one moment.
Oh. What's Bad Santa?
No.
Love Actually?
No.
Yeah. What about that one?
Grandma, make a decision.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Hey. Anytime, please.
Oh, no, there's too many to pick from.
I step to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I step to Philly.
The Broad Street line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly!
Simply Right checking from Santander Bank. Just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right checking from Santander Bank.
Oh. What's Bad Santa?
No.
Love Actually?
No.
Yeah.
What about that one?
Grandma, make a decision.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Anytime, please.
Oh, no, there's too many to pick from.
Our final segment here on Eagles 360. Let's get you set up on what's happening on Wednesday as this very short week comes to a close ahead of Thursday's game against the Giants. Mike Quick joins me in studio. We go behind enemy lines with Mike Eisen from Giants.com, and Doug Peterson addresses the media for the final time. Amoroso's the reason Philly sandwiches are so famous. Well, Glenn, your final thoughts here. I believe the Eagles are going to finish strong. Your thoughts? I'm encouraged by the last two games.
Well, I guess I'm kind of going there. I think this is going to be a tough one to win because the Giants have a lot of talent. The Giants are on a pretty good streak right now. It means a lot to them. But the Baltimore game was very encouraging, even a loss. I hate the moral victory thing. But they played it right down to the end, 2 yards short of a victory on the road against a very good team. So, yeah, can you finish strong and lose games? I guess you can.
No.
No? Well, then you need to see them
win. Finish strong and win games. This is so 1999. Win these last couple of games.
Andy Reid's first year.
Go into the offseason with a bit of momentum that doesn't necessarily carry over to the next year.
Tell you what. They go 1-1 this last two games.
I'll bet you a sandwich. I'll bet you a sandwich on an Amoroso's roll that the Eagles go 2-0. I'm going 2-0.
Geez, I'd love to lose that
2-0
bet
against
day,
the field.
But,
2-0 against the field.
I'd love to lose that bet, but Amoroso's pork on a
okay.
roll?
Absolutely. On an Amoroso's roll.
On an Amoroso's roll? That sounds pretty good, too.
Okay.
I can't lose.
Eagles will beat the Giants. You heard it here. Maybe not first, but you heard it here. Glenn Macnell, Dave Spadaro, thanks for joining us on Eagles 360. I'm back tomorrow with Mike Quick. Between now and then, make sure you have yourselves a great, great, great Eagles day.